Look at his record traditionally, how he votes.
You're about Russell now.
I'm talking about Russell. And Talmadge is worse. Herman Talmadge has never voted for organized labor, never voted the views of the working man. Here we have a senator that's head of the Agricultural Committee in the State Senate, and the United States Senate didn't even as much as know it was giving our damn wheat away. Didn't even know what's happening. If he did, you know, he plays dumb about it. And so he doesn't vote for the working people. But who are you going to get to beat him? We have no one here that that wanted to take him on. I thought for a while Carter was going to take him on this time, but Carter didn't do it. So he's going to get by without opposition or token opposition, as he says, political unknown or an idiot. That's his statement that they were going to be. So we had never had a Senate.
Okay, you endorsed none. In the 10 congressional districts, how many did you endorse there?
We endorsed Andy Young, and we won.
He was the only one?
We endorsed John Davis over the Dr. Larry McDonald, the John Bercher, and we won. And we endorsed Bo Ginn over Elliott Hagan in the first, and we won. We endorsed Bill Stuckey, and we won with that. Bill Landrum had no opposition in his district, and neither did Jack Brinkley down in Columbus. Now, Stevens, over in the 10th district, he is one that, he is the only congressman, really, that we have never taken out after. And we might get him, too. We might take it. We're building up. We have a good, strong labor union coming on in Athens and in Augusta. We have a central labor council now in Elberton. And these are all three in the 10th district.
So the 10 you endorsed work for four?
Yeah, we made endorsements. They had opposition. We were able to beat Elliott Hagan. When Elliott Hagan was first elected to Congress, he pledged that he would vote for organized labor and help us and all like that. And he went up there and he abandoned us. And we beat him. And we got one down here. We have one right now in the 6th District, Jack Flint, who has Republican opposition. And, you know, the Post Guard Restoration Bill is important to the labor movement. I had the Post Guard Restoration Bill introduced in the House up here. I worked with that Post Guard Restoration Bill day and night, just like I did the agency shop. I got it out of committee with a due pass recommendation, not one dissenting vote. And the Speaker of the House would not call it up. So I asked him why he wouldn't. And he said it was too controversial. But finally, they agreed to call it up, and Mike Egan, the Republican, the minority leader, got up and made a motion to table it, and they voted just like that and tabled the motion. This was a year ago. So this last session, I worked and got it brought off the table, and I lost it by 11 votes. I like 11 votes, getting enough votes to pass the postcard registration bill here. But on the national postcard registration bill, we were running short, and they're supposed to vote on it today in Washington. And I called Jack Flint and told him, I said, Jack, I says, you have never voted a lot with us, and you say that you can't because of your constituency and all, but I said, I'm reminding you that you either vote for the damn postcard bill or you consider a direct vote against organized labor, and me personally, and I'm going to work against your ass to beat you. So he told me he would vote for it. It will remain to be seen whether or not he's up there today to vote on that bill. But anyone that would deny someone a right, an easy way to register to vote, I mean, is afraid of something. I mean, this is why the blacks in the South are having a problem. And not only the South, this is how Adam Powell and all was always against voter registration drive, because he had his people in his church. And all the ones that was in his district, he had no trouble. But he didn't know what would happen if he got these new ones registered to vote. And this is what we're having a problem with, some of the blacks that's in power here now, that fought and got in power, that they are not as concerned about registration and all as they once was, because they know that the people in the district that's registered to vote now will return them to office. And if they get more registered, they don't know. That's top priority.
Did you get involved in a lot of primaries in the state senate?
Oh, yes.
About how many? What percent of the races? Where you got involved, made an endorsement, and worked for somebody.
Right. I would say that we were involved in 100% of them had opposition. Everybody had opposition we were involved in. Now, I would have to go to my records and pull them and find out just who, what percent of them we made financial contributions to in a small amount. Now, we were not able to in the Senate race and in the congressional races that we were involved in. And the Andy Young race was real important to us here. Because, have you ever met Andy Young?
Yeah.
Well, Andy Young is a very, very dynamic person as far as we're concerned. Not one time has he ever voted against us since he's been in Washington. And so he is, we consider this a great accomplishment for us.
What did you actually do in his campaign?
Everything, again, that's possible for anybody to do to get somebody elected. We set up 100 telephones. We manned those telephones. We called people on the phone from the registered voters list. We put cars out in the community. We rented automobiles. We paid for these cars. We put drivers in them to haul people to the polls. We had literature printed. We passed out literature. We contributed financially to his campaign. We rallied all of the labor unions in his behalf, and we worked with other groups and coalitions and all to get him elected.
And he ran. He got a fairly decent, respectable vote in those blue collar white precincts in his district.
Very much so. And we hoping we'll get by without opposition this time.
Did you actively support Carter?
Jimmy Carter?
Yeah.
Labor movement, no. They went with Carl Sanders. They endorsed Carl Sanders. I personally was a Jimmy Carter man, but I did not work for him. I couldn't work for him because the labor movement endorsed somebody else. I felt that Carl Sanders betrayed us. He has, since he went out of office, misrepresented things to us. And he tried his best to bust up organized labor support in the Gambrell Nunn race. He was for Sam Nunn, and he went to the people that he was friend to when he was in power. And this is the bad part about organized labor, not only in this state, but in every state, is holding them together. Because everybody running for office has friends that's in the labor movement. And when we're as big as we are, I'm merely in the legislative arm of the labor movement. And I speak for organized labor as far as legislation is concerned, as it is passed down to us on the national level. And on the national level, they speak for the presidential election and the vice president. And then we speak for the
House of Representatives here, that if you were in opposition, wherever there was an opposition involved, you got involved in the campaign.
Would you like more coffee? No,
thank you.
Would you, Mr.
Mayor?
No. Well, there was a contested primary in the House. Was that generally true, too? Were you generally on the side against the incumbent?
Not necessarily. Some of the races we did not get involved in. Unfortunately, and this is a hell of a position, this is the first time the races that's coming up that we have two good issues that we consider to judge whether a person voted against organized labor or not. One is the Post Guard registration bill. They were everyone notified, they were everyone talked to, not one time, but two or three times. They knew that organized labor was supporting that bill, that it was a labor bill prepared by us and introduced by one of our people up there, friends of ours. And the ones that voted against it, this is the first time in years the eliminating the waiting week on unemployment. We didn't have any votes against that thing because they knew that bill was going to go through. They wanted to be on the side of it. There was so much momentum, no one voted against it. So a person voted for that bill that was probably against us. So we have the ERA, and we have postcard registration. Those are two things that the labor movement, they knew we were for, and the ones that voted against it, we consider them our enemies. And they are enemies of ours if they voted against us on those two bills.
And so based on that,
we will be able this time to know more than ever where our friends are and where they're not. And really, a person could, and I know that a person could be favor organized labor, the goals of organized labor, and still be against both of them. I realize that. And we're going to have to weigh that. And I guess I'm very fortunate that I can sit down and talk to a man and find out his feelings.
Will this election be about the strongest involvement in any campaign that you've had?
I think so. We're going all out to beat Ben Black. We're going all out to beat him. We have two people that are running in the Democrat primary, Elliot Levitas. Do you know Elliot?
No.
All right, Elliot is a former representative up here and announced last time that he would not seek re-election to his House seat. And the other gentleman that is running is a architect and a home designer, what have you, and they have announced. So we will be going all out to beat Mr. Blackman. We're going to be really very much involved in the governor's race after the primaries. We're going to be involved in the lieutenant governor's race. We're going to be involved in some Senate races. We have some Senate races around. We're going to be very involved in beating this Armstrong Smith. And I told you, we have a fella that's president of the Palmetto Bank down there that pilot for Eastern Airlines and all that is going to run against him, and we're going to try to beat him. And we have some more areas, seats that we're going to try to capture. And we believe if we're successful, and you know, if the word gets out that we have been able to knock off a couple of the guys that's anti-labor, then the others are going to stand up and take notice of it. It's not going to be like that.
Do you contribute money to legislative campaigns?
Right.
How much?
Not a lot. It's
a couple hundred dollars?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The going thing may be a couple of hundred dollars to a legislative candidate, and then if we have a legislator over there that's really a dynamic friend of ours and can talk to, not necessarily vote with us the way we want to every damn time, but at least willing to sit and listen to us. Now, a lot of them won't even listen to us. I mean, you just say it's labor and it's gone. Then we would contribute more to him if he was in trouble and needed help and all. And the Senate race is the same way. Last year, I contributed high $500 to some races, and then this time I hope to be able to do that, $200 to some, and on a $500 in the governor's race. I was in hopes we could maybe put $15,000-$20,000 in the lieutenant governor's race. The lieutenant governor's race is more important to me this year than the governor's race. And I mean, that really, really sounds stupid, but the governor is the third most powerful man in our state. The most powerful person in our state is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, because he can stop any damn bill that he won't stop. The governor was not able to do it. The governor was not able to get legislation passed, but the Speaker has the prerogative of calling a bill on the calendar anytime he wants to or not call. So any piece of legislation that he don't want called up, all he has to do is bypass it. The Speaker, and then the Lieutenant Governor, is the same identical way. He appoints the committees, and then the committees bring, and then he can turn right around then and on the thing and veto and get passed by legislation like that. And then on the governor, when it gets down to his office, he can veto it if he don't want it. Yes.
Excuse me, just one minute. I got a lady on the line.
Can we?
Yeah. What's it going to take to make Georgia vote for the National Democratic candidate for president?
To have a candidate that presents a program that is in line with the thinking of the country and I don't mean Georgia, I don't believe the thinking of the people in Michigan or the people in California are that much different from the state of Georgia. I mean, you see what George Wallace did in the other states, and they talk about how he was doing in the South. I believe that in the past, the Democrat Party had written off the South and said they didn't need them. And I believe if a Democrat governor, I mean, Democrat presidential candidate would come to the South with a program and for the people, that he could carry the South with no problem. You have a lot of them that could. Hubert Humphrey could carry the South. You have Walter Mondale could carry the South. I'm not sure about Ted Kennedy. I'm not sure about him. But I don't believe that the Chappaquiddick would play that much of a role in it. I just believe that his liberal, you have the Lester Maddox type people. I don't know what role George Wallace would play. I don't believe that you and I will ever live to see the day that George Wallace and Ted Kennedy shares a ticket together. I mean, they talk about a presidential ticket in 76 with George Wallace and Ted Kennedy. I don't believe that. I believe that you and I will see that. There's a great possibility that I see that Ted Kennedy could possibly be the nominee, and you see someone like Carter or Askew or Bumpers, or what happened to Bumpers in the Senate race in Arkansas, or someone like this that would be on it. Don't rule Terry Stanford out, and Terry Sanford, and all some of them, to pick someone from the South to run with them. I believe that either Mondale and Carter, or I don't know where Humphrey would, even his health it would permit him even trying again or whatnot, but he would be a dynamic person. People in the South would go for him, but people in the South were not going for nobody like a governor. I voted for the governor and all. I didn't beat my brains out for a governor on account of the no endorsement policy of the AFL-CIO, but I voted for the governor. And McGovern looks good today, and this is the first time, but I mean he looks good. And I believe you'll see the South go Democrat.
Do you work? How much work do you do with Republican legislators here?
I enjoy a good relationship with Bob Shaw. Bob Shaw and I are good friends. Our kids go to school out together out of Sandy Spring. We know one another. We've appeared on TV together a couple of times. And, of course, I'm not the spokesman for the party here. That's Mr. Kerbo, Charles Kerbo. And just like Bob Shaw for the Republicans. And that was what she bugged me a while ago, Senator Wiley Wasden from Savannah, who is a Republican and former party chairman for the state of Georgia before Bob Shaw, had called me and said he'd be in his office till 10:30 and all. But I enjoy good, he's a Republican, I enjoy a good relationship with him. And some of the other Republicans, George Larson, a representative here, and I, we get along, and he supports legislation that we're interested in. And we can get him to sign and help us on any legislation we want. But as a general rule, the Republicans don't help us. Of course, it's just like in Congress. I mean, we have...
How about on ERA legislation?
They were against it.
I mean, 100%, a solid?
Yeah. Hell, they don't. Every now and then you may get a straggler, but the way that one votes, they all vote. I mean, they have a caucus, and they decide that before they vote. And you may have one that has to vote because of personal reasons or something like that, but I mean, it's a general rule.
The Republicans in the legislature have pretty much party discipline.
That's exactly right.
How about the Democrats?
No.
I mean, Busby is majority leader over there.
Right.
Does he actually swing votes to the Democrats caucus and do they
yes. Yeah, they do. They, on the postcard registration bill, when it was originally introduced, the guy that I got to introduce it, I thought had more influence in the House than what he did. I found out he didn't. And so I went to Busby, and I got Busby to take it. And Busby got it off of the table and got a vote and all, and him in the middle of all of the budget hearings and everything else, if he had had time to work the floor and it got to be a week of the past, but he didn't. But he talked for it and spoke for it and everything up there, and we lost it by 11 votes, where if he'd have had an opportunity. So he is pretty important.
How about the blacks in the legislature? How closely do they work with you?
100%.
Are they solid BRA?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that all of them. I don't have the vote here, but I'm sure they all voted for it, and I might be positive.
How do you assess the black legislators in Georgia? Their influence and role and
well, the ability. Black legislators are a vital part of the legislative system of this state. I think as a result of the blacks being elected, it has brought about the changes that we had to have. And if it hadn't been for them in the legislature and the blacks being able to be up there and know how the officials were voting on it and what they had to say on that floor about it and everything, it has made the elected white officials realize and all that they are going to have to do different if they're going to come back up there, because they're in an area where the blacks can make the difference in elections.
Georgia have a state minimum wage law?
Yeah. Dollar and what about this now? And we have about 500 up there in that capital that needs to be on. We need to put the governor, and I'm sincere about this, the governor and every elected official up there, every representative and the senators and everything should be required to work a damn month for a minimum wage. And they'd go back up there and they'd change it. Because when one of my people, one of the poor black people that's in the ghettos out here, that has no education and no means of bringing himself up, when he goes into the grocery store to buy a piece of meat or a sack of flour, he pays identically the same damn sales tax, the same price and all, as the governor of this state has to pay for it if he goes and buys it. And it isn't right. There should be somebody, if you and I, that have been blessed in life enough that we can provide for ourselves and our family a living, that we can enjoy some of the wonderful things in this country that they are to enjoy, that if we don't take a little bit of our time and help build a damn bridge to where the people that is not as fortunate as you and I, that they can cross over a little easier and enjoy some of it, then we've fallen short, and we don't deserve to have what we have if we don't try to help somebody else. And that's the way I feel about it. And I don't think our elected officials, I mean, I'm sick to death of some of the blacks that have been elected to office in this state. They know how the blacks have fought. They know how the working people have fought. And when they got up there, they will vote for legislation that organized labor is interested in. They will vote for the legislation that blacks are. But they don't take as much time and as much use as much influence in the community, in their own community, to try to help the blacks that really need help and all. And we in this country, when we think of people that really need help, we refer mostly to blacks, but this really isn't the case. I mean, we have poor white people in this country, but the whites had a little better opportunity. Black state. And I like to work with all of them.
Since you've been involved in politics and the union movement, what's the major change you've seen in the last 10 or 15 years? Major political change in this state?
The involvement of blacks in the decision making on the state level, county level, city level. We have seen, in the last 10 years, we have seen it go from where the whites the whites, you never would see a white having dinner downtown with a black, but you would see the whites over in the black community trying to get the black vote. And you called one of them and told me, Tabby, you want to talk to them? Say, how about having us having dinner at Pascal's or Beeman's on Auburn Avenue? But now then, you see a change. They say, listen, let's meet up at the top of the Mart or the Commerce Club or somewhere like this and have dinner. I'd like to talk with you. And all, we see a great change there. On the boards and all, the Board of Regents, Jesse Hill serves on the Board of Regents, first black that ever served on them. You have a black on the Pardon and Parole Board here. You have a black mayor. You have a black congressman and all. This tells me that thinking of the people and all is getting more in line with the nation, the working class of people, that they want someone to represent them and vote. I think that organized labor, the kids today are becoming more educated. The people that are educated, the higher educational people, and I'll think more in line with organized labor than just the average person, because they understand organized labor more than someone that has never studied it. And I had a niece that come up to me the other day and was telling me, put her arm around me, and she said, Uncle Herbert says we're studying labor and all in school, and she said, I understand it a lot more now, and she said, I'm for you. And really, she had never been for organized labor, because she had
school where?
The University of Georgia. And then I go out to high schools and colleges and speak maybe 2 and 3 times a month that over this state, and presenting organized labor's views. And when they see, the kids see someone come in and all from organized labor and talk to them, they form their own opinion rather than what they have been told. And so I think it's helped a lot.
How do you assess the ability of the blacks in the legislature? I mean, are they about average in the legislature?
They're becoming more effective, and of course their effectiveness does not necessarily reflect on their ability. It's just the fact that they're so outnumbered, and you still have the rural dominated legislature over there by the so many from the rural area, and nothing wrong with the rural area, because the rural area is even changing their thinking today.
How would someone say like Hugh Gillis be?
Well, Hugh Gillis has always been, he's not with us. I mean, he does not vote organized labor, and he does not support our programs and everything. But see, this is what I'm saying. Leroy Johnson went down to Soperton, and that's where Gillis is from, last year. And I was not there, I have been told. He was running Lamar Passmore, who runs a bank over in Dexter, Georgia, was running against Gillis and had him beat. And then Leroy Johnson, bless the matters, got Leroy Johnson to go down and get the black vote away from Passmore and get it back over to Gillis, and that made the difference in the election. So this is what I say, if the black...
Has it made any difference in Gillis's voting?
Hell no. It don't make no difference in his voting. He's going to still, because he figures that they can make deals as long as they got somebody up there that will deal with him, like Lester Mattis and Leroy Johnson and all, and that he can do it again. It don't matter how they vote. I mean, that's not an issue. The issues in the campaigns are not as important anymore as a person's personality, a person's appearance, and all, that you can see Dr. Larry McDonald over in Cobb County there, real young, nice-looking doctor and all, and has finesse, and he goes out and campaigns, and damn near beats John Davis. Of course, John Davis is not a real dynamic person, but it's the people vote on that rather than on issues. And the issues don't mean anymore. It's a popularity contest, and one who gets there the first with the most. I mean, with 8 people running for governor here, the issues, you go out and 8 out of 10 voters can't tell you what the issues are. They don't know. They're not involved. They vote on the one that they vote for, the one that they've heard his name mentioned the most. And
is there a labor newspaper in Georgia?
Yeah, we have the Journal of Labor, the official newspaper.
Labor magazine. Comes out how often?
Weekly.
What's the circulation?
Approximately 15,000. The office is 2-3 doors down on the left on this hall here. We own the paper.
Anything we didn't cover?
Well, I hope we did. I hope I was able to. I have an appointment. I'm going to have to attend almost 10:30, and I'm going to have to get out. I was glad that I talked to you, though. I'm glad I about our role in the state. I would never want to see organized labor get a hold on any state to the point that they control it, and I would never want to see management get a hold on any state to where they can control it. To hell with organized labor. I think as long as we have a balance in this country of management and the workers, we don't have any problems. But if we get an unbalance like we did in 29 and see a crash, they'll think we're all in trouble.
Do you think it's in balance in Georgia now, or do you think?
But we're working.
What would be the most influential groups in Georgia in terms of controlling state policy?
Chamber of Commerce and Business and Industry Association, Georgia Business and Industry.
How about that? Where do the bankers
The bankers don't control that much. They, they're not that, I don't believe they're that much involved. You know, why would a banker over there, why would he be objecting to a minimum wage? Because the more money is made, the more he can loan, and the more they can go and get back. So, I mean, they don't fight it. The textile and the business and industry, they think of it in terms of keeping that wages down, and also, you know, the cost of living increasing 10% and 12% a year. Occidental Petroleum reports their earnings up 800% and something. Texaco and all them, and the people of this country that's surviving, that's employed by the Georgia Power Company here, and all that's haven't had a raise in 2 years, and all, and they have. They haven't had a raise in 2 years, and in order to meet what has been taken away from the cost of living increased 20% in 2 years, they'd have to have a 30% increase in salary tomorrow to break even. And there's no one willing to do that. And the people, the workers, are going to rebel in this country. And that's why I say that they are interested. Hell, they're not going to put these kind of people back in office again. They are ready for a change. They don't care. It would not make one bit of difference if the Democrats were in office now and things happening like they are, the Republicans would be. And they're going to vote everybody out of office. That's what the people are going to do. I hear every day, I talk to the people. They say I'm against everybody that's in office. And this is the feeling of the people. I don't know how y'all find it in other places you go. But
they're pissed off.
That's right. I mean, they are absolutely tired of it. And I